Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I have a question for you. What good is financial freedom if you don't have freedom? I was watching the news yesterday. I saw it again this morning on the news just when I got up, and showing a guy standing out in front of his house with AR-15, I'm sorry, and his wife standing next to him, and there's a riot. It's a big mansion house, and there's all these people breaking into the subdivision, and they're circling around his house, and he's got this gun, and of course now he's in the situation where they're saying that he's doing something against these people. Obviously, our country has gone bonkos. I've played some stuff Monday about how they're trying to get rid of cops. And, you know, when you really think about all this stuff, you think, well, you know, I'm worried about my retirement plan 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or eight, let's talk 6 weeks ago before the pandemic. And I was wondering, you know, how am I going to be able to retire? And other people think, well, you know, how can I get rich and retire like you? And how can I retire in, you know, what we usually talk about here, anywhere from 2 to 5 years total retirement and massive wealth. And now people are going like, but I just want to stay alive. You know, what do I do if they get rid of all the cops? What do I do if, you know, if the pandemic gets me? And the world is completely turned upside down. So what I want to do is in these tough times is that I'm going to sprinkle in every other day real estate investment information and financial information and so forth. But I want to bring in some other stuff because really when I say it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, I really mean that. And that's just not a motto that I've had for 30 years. And if you ever really get to know me, you know I'm out there living that lifestyle. The next individual I want to bring on and introduce to you is someone I met out there doing that lifestyle. My wife and I decided that we wanted to get our license to carry for firearms, and so we started looking around different fire ranges, and we signed up, and we got it taken care of. But my wife got this interesting thing where I bought her this little Halle Berry gun. It's like a SIG, and it's just a small little gun that's a self-carry gun. And so we wanted to go to firing ranges, and she drugged me into this firing range that I'd never been in before, and there sat the gun of my dreams. And she goes, Del, there it is. That's what you've been wanting. You want that gun. And I walked over and I couldn't believe it because it's a gun you normally would have to order to get. But there it was laying on the table. And she, you know, she did. She jumped up and bought one. And she took it away. And from that point on, it's been nothing but don't look back, Sally, because it's unbelievable what she can do with this new competitive gun. And of course, I had to buy one too because, you know, you got to keep up with the wife. And she just was blowing them away with this gun. Short, long story short, bottom line is I met a new friend out of Tony Ignato, which is the, he calls himself, I get a kick out of this, the CEO of Staccato Firearms. But CEO is meant to be Chief Experience Officer. And boy, was he an experience. He knows guns backwards, forwards, 20 years out of the military. Been with firearms and all different types of shooting experiences in different companies for the last 10 years. But for the last 10 years now, for the last 20 years, but for the last 10 years, he's been with a company called Staccato Firearms. Some of you might have known it as STI. They changed their name because they're getting bigger and they wanted to have a better platform to work from. And I asked him to come in here today because he's got a unique view of the topics I wanted to cover. In fact, I think he covers them 10 times better than I could have covered them. So I wanted to bring him on. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, Del, thanks for having me.
Tony, we got this world where a year ago, 2 years ago, everybody was afraid of guns. Now 50,000 guns a month are being sold in the U.S., and you can't keep them on the shelves. World's changing. Good thing, bad thing. Tell us what you see going on.
Well, I think the key word in that statement, and first and foremost, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure meeting you and your wife. I'm glad you got a chance to experience the Staccato 2011s, and I'm glad she's out shooting you right now. Well, until you get yours in your hand, and then it'll be at least a fair shot at beating her out on the range. To go back into your introductory statement, fear. That's where we are right now. And if you think about this, you talk about natural disasters or financial situations, civil unrest, political situations, rioting, rise in crime. These are all things that instill fear or stimulate fear. And when you have fear and you look for comfort, you know, as children, you know, we were afraid, we went to our parents, and then other things, we lock our doors, we get alarms, we put bigger tires on our four-wheel drive trucks, we do all these things. Even if you think about when the pandemic first started, people were buying food and resources and all these things we do, and it becomes a matter of how do I regain my confidence, how do I reduce my fear, and how do I replace fear with peace. So when you think about the general citizen and they're afraid, well, they're starting to look for something. How can I have afraid somebody's going to do harm to me. Somebody's going to cause me harm, my family harm. What can I do? I can put bigger doors and bigger locks on my house. I can put bars on my window. I can put up alarms. And then the next thing is, okay, I've got all that, but now the alarm alerts the police officers, and if the police officers are busy with riots or other civil unrest, they don't have time, and then you start talking about defunding police, and so there's less police officers to handle that. Well, what people don't understand, and I've asked this question in numerous defense classes, is who's the first responder? And the answer is you. Because you're the person that's the first one to address that that criminal or that bad guy or the bad situation. So people are looking, even the people who aren't into guns, they're now all of a sudden into guns because they're like, okay, hey, man, listen, I just want to protect myself. If the rest of the world had a sharp pointy stick, we'd be into sharp pointy sticks. Unfortunately, our means of offensive and defensive measures have progressed with technology, and so now the way that people are looking to defend themselves is with a firearm.
So as you look at this and you see this coming as a natural progression, one of the things that I want to get across here today is, well, actually, I have two major points, and then you have another one you wanted to bring up. But this one of the points, in fact, is that we've got all these new people out there that have decided that it's time to get this gun. And I watched it during the pandemic. I mean, guns were flying off. I obviously don't have a job, so I just go around and hang out places. I started hanging out in all the gun shops and all the sporting goods stores, and I watched lines of people line up and pull guns out. They've never seen, never touched. They didn't know what kind of gun. It was a good gun, a bad gun. So really two things came to my mind what I want to cover today, and we can work from whichever angle you'd prefer to start with. And one of them is, hey, man, these guys have no idea what they're doing. I mean, they were looking down barrels to see what they had no idea to look at what it was good or bad or ugly. They had no training whatsoever, and that scared me. The second thing was that they were buying indiscriminately, just anything, just buying junk, buying stuff they'd never used, buying stuff that wouldn't do what they needed to do. And I think you should pick up a little bit about the concept of self-defense, home protection, and self-defense, and explain to them the difference and what's really necessary there.
That's an excellent point. There's, if you think about personal defense, home defense, and the purchasing of that firearm, if you choose. Now, listen, I'm not telling you have to go buy a gun. There's plenty of gazelles that run wild in Africa and die of old age. Okay, but listen, if you choose an armed response as part of your defense plan, there's two things you want to make sure. Number one, that your gun doesn't suck, and that you don't suck with it. These are two things, and pardon the blunt description. So you have to make sure, number one, that you're buying a quality firearm. And number two, you have to be able to use it. Because if you can't, it's like having the most amazing car or truck or vehicle or motorcycle and no license and no ability to ride that. So here's the thing about it. When I say quality firearm, is you have to make sure that the quality of that firearm, meaning it's going to perform well, you can depend on it, and that when the time calls, when the situation arises, you can perform and do what you have to do to employ that firearm to either end the threat and protect your life and your family, and execute that proficiently without any collateral damage. This is the most important firearm you'll ever own in your life, is your personal defense and home defense firearm. And
we'll take a break right there, Tony. Tony, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll pick it up right back there. For the rest of you, we'll be right back with Tony Pignato and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Tony Pignato. He is the CEO, which he explains as Chief Experience Officer over Staccato Firearms. And I met him out at a on-location event where he was showing off some of his guns, one of which was a gun that I had dreamed of owning for a long time. So I've asked him to come in here and speak today because we've had some wonderful results. My wife is really enjoying the gun she bought from him. I've got one on order. It's coming in. And there's really two things that I found, Tony, and I'm going to get back to him, segue back in for people that are just tuning in right now. And that is, once I got my wife interested, because she was a little skeptical about guns at first, to be honest with you, and I got her to try this Halle Berry gun, this little one, and she liked it because it was a small little, you know, SIG D398 or something like that. It's like a little teeny gun. And she liked it, and it was cute. Whatever cute means, but she liked it. It felt comfortable in her hand. And I got her to shoot it. And then she picked up her son's gun. Her son's gun was a cheap gun. I won't give the name out because I don't want to slander somebody. But the thing backfired on her, clogged up. It shot. She didn't know what to do. And we ran into two problems. Number one, she didn't know how to handle guns. I had not completely trained her yet. In fact, I hadn't completely trained her enough. I taught her basic four things, you know, where to point it, with this, that, and the other four. But the bottom line was is that she didn't know how to clear a round that was stuck in the chamber, and the gun just kept backfiring on her, and she put the gun up in the air, goes, I don't know what to do, and then the gun went off and just shot up in the air, luckily not it towards anybody. And then I realized there's two things that have to happen. Number one, we got to get rid of this gun because this is a dangerous piece of garbage. And number two, we got to get some training here. So I'm going to have you talk about the guns, because the training part is, I've had people come in from firing ranges before and talk about safety and training. I think that's the other half of this story. But the same thing is true, is that her son then had this cheap gun, couldn't hit anything. She had her SIG, which was a small version of a 911, the P-938, I think it's a baby 911. And then I picked up my 911, and every single one of us, all three of us, could just put them in the bullseye, one right after the other after the other. Something about that 9/11 was magical. And from that point on, that's when I fell in love and started looking up the 2011, the guns that you guys invented some, what was it, 30, 50 years ago, whatever it was. Whenever you guys invented that gun, the world changed. And so I want you to talk about this thing that you talk about. What is the most important gun you will ever own, and why?
Thanks, Del, and that's a great point. We looked at an understanding that home defense, personal protection, the gun that you're going to defend yourself and your family is obviously the most important gun. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure, you know, people will argue, well, my deal rifle and my bird shotgun. Well, that's all great, but there's very few platforms that you're going to own, whether it be on your nightstand, you carry on your person, or you have locked in a finger activation safe to defend your family, that is more important than those two platforms, home defense, personal defense. Because when you pull this gun out and you have to employ this firearm, remember, this isn't a competition, this isn't a game, this isn't Call of Duty. Number two, the loser in this could end up dying. So this is not, you know, it's like Ricky Bobby said, you're either first or last. Well, in a gunfight, you don't want to be last. You want to be first. And things that you have to consider is, number one, the gun has to be quality. Number two, I have to be able to use it. And also understand that in a high-stress environment like home defense or personal defense, or assessing a threat and engaging a threat, this is going to be the most difficult thing you've done. So the platform has to be easy to use, easy to manipulate, and effective. And that's the whole ticket when it comes to that personal defense and home defense platform.
Well, I see it to be true. It just amazed me when she picked up that Staccato P dual, put a scope on, or put a dot on, I'm sorry, not scope, dot. And we went out to the range, and she just started burning up those targets. I couldn't believe it. I was embarrassed. I mean, I was shooting anywhere from 5 to 10 round groups at 15 yards with whichever gun I was using. Some are better than others, you know. But, man, she was just right in that 2-inch, 3-inch, you know, dot over and over again. What makes the Staccato, and especially the 1911, 2011 platform, what makes it so much easier to shoot, Tony?
Well, it's, you know, when you introduced me to your audience, you talked about the chief experience officer. Well, here's the cool thing about it is I'm the Paul Revere. I get to go around, and the key point being experience is I get to take the world's best shooting handguns, and I get to put them in people's hands, whether it's customers, potential customers, new customers, or even enthusiasts that just want to come out and try the gun. And so that's actually how you and I met, is coming in and being able to experience that platform and see the difference when you use a Staccato 2011. Now, of course, we're using the 1911 operating system, which is tried and true. You know, it's an amazing accuracy. It's got always has amazing triggers. It's got two safeties on the gun. Tried and true platform and design, very dependable, very, very accurate, fast cycling platforms. What we did is we created, and this was about 26, 27 years ago, we created a modular frame and polymer grip, which means you basically have the top of the gun is a 1911, and below that, we've integrated a modular frame polymer grip. That polymer grip actually reduces the amount of energy transferred to you and the shooter. And I'll be real brief in this description. Less energy transferred to you is less violence transferred to you as a shooter. It's less energy that pulls the gun off target and affects you as the shooter when you're trying to apply the basic fundamentals of marksmanship. Now, when I reduce that energy, reduce anything that would discombobulate my sight picture or pull me off target, and I minimize that, and then I take that same energy and I channel it back into the platform so that I can make it directional, it can help the gun come back on target, you're going to be faster, you're going to be more accurate, you're going to transition from target to target. Bottom line is, the gun's easier to shoot, and when I'm defending myself, my family, or my teammates on the street or in my community, that's when I want to be at my best. And the Staccato 2011 will get you there.
So let's talk about, let's see, we've got a minute left here in this segment. So I have a segment I want to cover. I'm going to hold it off to the next segment because I think it's a pretty big segment. So let's step down the other line here. What is the minimal amount of training a person should get to be able to handle a firearm?
That's an interesting question. That's kind of like, and I would take that question and be like, think about what's the minimum amount of training of hours behind a steering wheel to do the Indy 500. I think I've been doing this for a long time. I spent over 20 years in the Army. I've been in the competitive shooting circuit for at least another 10 years. I never stop learning. But the minimum you need to learn is the fundamentals of marksmanship and how to engage your platform, how to put it together, how to take it apart, how to load it, how to unload it, how to engage targets and engage targets effectively. Remember, especially with personal defense, home defense, you're going to go from zero driver's education right into the Indy 500, and you got to be prepared for that. Spend time on ammo. Spend time with a good instructor that you vetted, and learn the craft that could save your life one day.
We'll be right back with Tony Pagano and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
CEO of Staccato Firearms, and we're discussing the concept of home defense, self-defense type firearms that you should have. Tony, one of the topics I wanted to bring up, I just can't think of a really good way to articulate it. I'm hoping you can drag me through this with all your years' experience talking about this stuff. But I've just looked it up, and I have somewhere around 23 different firearms in my house. I just wrote them all down top of my head. And I looked at it, and I go, you know what? I could take of that 23, I could pick five and I'd have everything I need in a firearms collection for my house. All the rest of them are things that I picked this up there somehow. I found this in a rent house one day. Son died and left us this one. This one right here, I thought I needed that type of gun because everybody had one, you know. And you went from the cheap $300 guns that are almost dangerous to the mid-range $500, $600 guns, which are pretty good name brand guns, but they don't shoot the same way once you get up into that $1,000 range and so forth. And of course, I have some competition guns that I just bought because I'm Del Wamsley. I'm rich and I wanted a $6,000 gun that had a compensator and crazy, you know, it's a toy. Beyond that, you know, what I'd like to do is save people from buying all these junk guns first. Is there any real logical reason to go out and buy a $300 or $400 gun? I mean, are you really accomplishing anything with that? Or is it just my arrogance of having enough money to be able to afford whatever I want just to know that I feel really bad that I bought all this junk before I bought something good? Help me out here, man. I don't know how to explain it without it sounding arrogant. It's kind of personal because it's I'm embarrassed to say I bought all these guns I really don't like owning. See if you can help me out here. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's embarrassment, you know, that I was too dumb to buy all these guns that really were bad choices, or if I really am honestly just trying to save people a lot of wasted money on buying stuff that's junk. Because not only do you buy a cheap gun, then you buy a cheap holster for it, then you buy cheap ammo, you know, you buy all the stuff that goes with that gun, and then you go, wow, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I had that gun over there. Tell us, how do you help people through that?
Well, here's the thing is, first thing you have to do is identify the gun you're purchasing, what is that for? You know, if you look at, I'm going to buy a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun, you know, and that's going to cost you $56, and you're doing it so that you can, you know, teach your son or daughter to knock down cans on the fence at the farm. Again, first thing you have to do is identify the need. What am I purchasing a firearm for? Now, the point you're making is, I don't want to buy a cheap personal defense gun. I mean, that's not where you want to look for a Groupon. That's not where you want to cut corners. The gun you're going to save your life with, or your family's life with, or your partner on the street, that's not where you want to look back and go, yep, I should have bought the more expensive gun. You know, because again, you're going to be saying that from a hospital. So understand, if you're talking about a personal defense gun or a home defense gun or a tactical firearm you're going to employ in your duties or in your activities as a law enforcement officer or an operational guy, obviously that's not where you want to cut corners. To buy an inexpensive, you know, little 22 to teach your son or something to go out there, or daughter to go out there and shoot, there's good guns out there that are sub $400 that work really well for that discipline or that use. But again, I think that's what you're insinuating is, when it comes to personal defense, home defense, things like that, buy good. And then also, if it's just a target gun and you know, if you're going to the range, all of us, we got a little ego in there. I like to be able to hit the target. And I like to prove to the people to the left and right of me at the range that I can hit the target. So I want to have that gun that I can shoot very, very well. The gun's going to perform to my skill level, and it's going to make me better. And I think you have to start looking at value and not price. What's the value of this? What does that value mean to me? There's some people, like in the case you wanted to have a really great competition gun. Well, that was valuable to you to be able to pull that gun out. You know, when buddies are throwing dollar bills on the table and you're betting across it, you're going to be like, no problem, I got a Pow Ting. Well, that makes every penny of that $6,000 gun worth it.
So I have to share with you that first gun I ever started with was really kind of it's a crazy thing, happened to me in real estate too. The first deal I ever did was a great deal, so then I wanted to do nothing but great deals after that. But the first gun I ever got was from my first wife 30 years ago. I got married to her, and her parents owned a gun range, and her brother was a competitive shooter, right? I think he did three gun and some other stuff. And he had a 1911 with about a 2-inch compensator on the end of it. And it just blew my mind. This guy could not miss. He could run, shoot, roll, fire, duck under things, jump over things. I mean, you know, as a man, I'm just like, ooh, 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 ah, 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 ah. You know, just unbelievable stuff. And they bought me a Colt 1911. So I, from the very first gun I ever had that was a pistol, that was really a quality pistol, it was a 1911. So I was spoiled from the very beginning. I don't know why I went back and bought the other stuff. I mean, you know, everybody's heard of a Glock. A Glock is a big name gun. I thought, well, you know, so they say it's the end all be all. And I bought it, and I couldn't shoot it anywhere near as well as I could shoot the 1911. I'm going to take you down another rabbit hole, though, because I'm not going to try to make you defend, you know, different companies on the show, because, you know, it just isn't right. You've got the quality handgun company, so it's not even fair. But tell me this. I started with 45 caliber and loved it. The size of the hole, when you look at shooting targets, a little 9mm, my wife was shooting a little 9mm, and I shoot my 45, and it was like, ha, 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 ha. See, I killed that guy a lot better than you did. But everything I read says that police, military have gone either to 9mm, they went back up to 40 cal to get more power, but they've come back down to 9mm. The 1911 has gone from 45, is more commonly used now with the 9mm. Tell me what it is. Is 9mm really the preferred round now, or am I just imagining that?
No, that's been the move, especially when you started having federal law enforcement AGs and operational units making that change to go back to 9mm. 40's got a lot of kick. And again, remember, it's that energy. And when you have that energy transfers into movement in the gun, and there's a lot of things you have to do to control that movement. Stance, physical fitness, grip, posture, presentation of the gun to be able to mitigate that recoil. And bullet technology has changed. I had a discussion with a guy who's an archery guy, and we were talking about broadheads. And way back in the day, you'd have to shoot this big, heavy 135, 150 grain broadhead. And now people are shooting 90 or 100 grain broadheads that have much better ballistics and velocity. And so the same thing with the bullet. Technology has changed. Powder's changed. Materials that they're using, it's just gotten better. And so if I can have less recoil, less energy, you know, not everybody has the benefit of shooting a Staccato 2011 and having 30 to 60% less energy transfer to you. So, you know, people are out here shooting these polymer guns and lightweight guns that that have all that energy transfer into the shooter. And so if I can reduce the energy, I can increase my capacity, and I have better ballistics out of the 9mm, it's a no-brainer. And that's why you're having departments, federal agencies, operational agencies that are moving back to that 9mm platform.
On that same token, this is just a personal question. We've only got a minute left this segment. And that is, I've got 92 grain 9mm. I got 115, I got 124, and I got 147. And with the good guns in our family, with the quality guns, how low a grain can you go? I've heard that these nicer guns need some more power to cycle correctly. Is there a bottom end grain that you shouldn't shoot below?
The standard 115 grain is always a fallback. I mean, it's probably the most popular grain and bullet combination with a full metal jacket bullet. There's some good plated bullets out there. I know Federal has a Syntec round that's a polymer coated bullet. Here's the great thing about our guns, and I want to make this clear for your audiences. Just because you buy a high dollar precision, high value quality firearm, it has to be able to function everything. It has to be able to function everything flawlessly. And that's the thing about the Staccato 2011, is it works.
Del Wamsley on Designing a Lifestyle.
When I was younger, I decided that I was not going to live the life that the average person lived, which was to think I was going to work for the end of my life, save up enough money, and then when I'm old and gray like I am now, try to buy my life back with a pile of money that I had. I said, no, I'm going to design a life and I'm going to live that life. That's it. Period.
Are you ready to design your life? Learn how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Tony Pignato from Staccato Firearms. And Tony is the chief experience officer for the company. In other words, he's the one who gets out there and lets people know about the company. And this company has been growing rapidly. It's an interesting conversation I had with Tony when I first met him, talked about some things here. The conversation was about the growth of the company and how do you take a company that does custom firearms and expand that to where it's growing rapidly. And Tony, you want to talk about the company a little bit and what, where you guys are going and what your plans are? And also somewhere in there, tell people how they could get in to your company and purchase a product from them. If there's stores they can go to, or do they have to order, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, love it. Thanks for the opportunity. So we started, you know, this company's been around for about 26 years. We were really primarily focused on the competition shooting industry, which is the action shooting sports such as USPSA, IDPA, IPSC, and even multi-gun. So when you think about competition, you know, when we say the word competition, you hear the word race. And then when you think about race, you associate that with race cars, race motorcycles, and race horses. And if you think about a race car, there's one guy who drives the car, and there's about 40 people that make that car run. So that term, you know, competition or race, is very, very polarizing. And we've known for years that our guns are just so easy to shoot, which is why they were so popular in the action shooting sports. When I first came to the company, I looked at the boss and I said, he said, "What's our message?" I said, "We make the world's best shooting handgun." And he looked at me and he goes, "Wow, that's pretty strong, ain't it?" And I go, "Prove me wrong." And really, nobody can, because when you shoot our platforms, I don't care who you compare us to, the 2011 platform is just a much easier gun to shoot. So how do I take that technology and how do I put that into to be all inclusive, not exclusive, allow everybody to be able to shoot better? And so we really focused in 2019 on the biggest needs of the industry, which is personal protection and home defense and the tactical operations world. So one of the things about that competition stigma attached to your firearms, people think it's finicky, it needs special ammo, special gas, you know, all these things that would polarize that product and brand. We started putting our guns in the hands of operational guys, veterans, special operations guys, police officers throughout the United States. And these guys were coming back every single time saying, "Where has this gun been my whole life? I would have carried this for 20 years when I was an operational guy." We picked up the U.S. Marshals Special Operations Group, where their entire unit adapted the Staccato 2011 platform as the primary and the secondary platform. And the performance was so high, the change in their performance, to quote the leader of that team, he said, "Before we got Staccatos, 5% would be in the 98th percentile." He goes, "Now 5% are out of the 98th percentile." So they had to change their entire quals just because of the fact he's, I mean, he looked right at me and he just shook his head. He goes, "Yep." He goes, "I got to change it." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Man, everybody's smoking these quals." He goes, "I don't feel like I'm pushing them." And they are probably one of the most accurate federal agencies as far as handguns. Accurate, fast. I mean, really, really, they spent a lot of time on the range. And so we did that. We took that product, that brand, brought it out to the secular world, as I call it, the non-competition world, and brought it into the people that do this for a living and are going to be exposed to the most stress at the most important time of their life. Give them something they can shoot better, shoot faster, and depend on, and there's the Staccato 2011.
Now, is it true that when you sell guns to either police forces or military or so forth, you have to tighten the trigger up a little bit, actually, or loosen it up, or reduce or increase the poundage to the pull? In other words, my competition guns, your gun, 2 pounds, sub-2 pound competition gun triggers, and then you go back to the Glock and got 6 and 7 pounds. These cops are coming off of Glocks. What are they doing when they're getting to 2 pound triggers, or are you changing that for them?
That's a great question. So it depends on the department. That's one of the great things about the 2011 platform is we can make modifications in our manufacturing to be able to meet the needs of the unit or the department. And we have had that. We've had, and most of our, if you look at our platforms, our carry guns and our tactical guns, like our Staccato C2, whether it's the dual or the standard option or Staccato P, those guns are coming in at about a 4 pound trigger. And there is a difference. You know, our 4 pound trigger and a Glock 4 pound trigger or a SIG 4 pound trigger are a totally different animal, just because of the way we do the triggers, we manufacture the parts for the triggers. It's just so much crisp and clean at the break point. You'll hardly notice it. And of course, putting a pound and a half or a 2 pound competition trigger in a carry gun or a tactical gun is a little bit risky because you got to factor in gloves, you got to factor in all these different things that could affect your sensitivity at the trigger finger level. And the last thing we want to do is have somebody shoot the target that was not intended, because that's bad press all the way around.
I have to admit, when I first got mine with those type of triggers, there was one or two times that somehow a bullet went off at the top of the target that I didn't remember pulling the trigger for, right? Bam! It's amazing. But, yeah, the 4 pound trigger on the Staccato B is still very, very crisp. And what's really nice about it is not only is it crisp, it's straight drawback. lag before you hit the wall type of thing. Whereas in that Glock, there's just like this long. You're like, are we there? Should I send out a letter? Can I call someone? Boom. You know?
Yes. There's two parts to the second part of your question about, we do have a website. We have an entire network of dealers throughout the United States. All that information is on our website. We also do have, if any of your listeners or people out there listening to the show, besides your regular listeners, we do have a Heroes program. And the Heroes program is designed specifically, obviously, we're a veteran-led company. We are 100% American made. We're right here in the great state of Texas in Georgetown. We are still a hand-built gun company. We put a lot of science and technology into these platforms that we build. But you can buy directly from our website under our Heroes program if you're a veteran, a retiree, active duty law enforcement, a first responder, and we've added recently essential medical personnel. So being built for heroes and made in Texas has been our mantra, and we're pretty proud of that.
Well, Tony, I got to roll now, and I want to thank you, and I also want to leave everybody with Tony's motto, that is, these guns are built for heroes. Heroes in green, heroes in blue, and heroes in you. Thanks for being on the show, Tony, and the rest of you. Remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
For listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.